Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the May 2025 edition of Poet Radio. Yo soy Chris Funkhauser, host of this program on WGXC since 2015. Tonight we'll spend time with the work of nomadic Luxembourgian-American poet Pierre Joris, spotlighted previously on the program in May 2019 when I interviewed him and played my recording of a reading he gave at Bard on the 50th anniversary of his graduation, and then again in June 2024 when I played documentation I made of an incredible reading he gave in Rhinebeck on the occasion of his receipt of the T-Space Poetry Prize. These recordings, along with poems he read at the 2017 Subterranean Poetry Festival, can be heard via WGXC's online archive. The reason for returning to his work again tonight is that Pierre passed away at the end of February of this year, and I wanted to take the opportunity to personally commemorate a few moments shared with this important writer, translator, and anthologist, and connections I had with him. Tonight I'll be presenting several previously uncirculated recordings I made of and with him over the past three decades. Pierre and I arrived in Albany from different parts of California in the summer of 1992, he to be a professor at SUNY and I to be a doctoral student in the same program he taught in. I enrolled in his first graduate seminar, he was part of my dissertation committee, and along the way we enjoyed many activities together. In fact, tonight's tribute is going to be a little out of the ordinary. While I will be playing never-before-digitized recordings of Pierre reading his poetry, due to our proximity, I have several other types of recordings of him in action as well. There are so many stories that could be told, and I'll be offering a few different types of reflections tonight. During the years I was in Albany, the presence of Pierre, Don Bird, and others brought many powerful writers to town. Beyond campus, Pierre and Nicole's home was a vibrant social center for the local arts community and the site of many salon-style events. On these occasions, the hosts would compose poignant introductions, and Pierre's introductions were seriously mindful, extremely generous, and, as you will hear, well-researched, as well as being based on experience and heart. Start by playing some of these.
Nothing like neon palm trees to make you feel good in December. Okay, introductions such as these tend, well, they tend to tend towards the sublime and the superlative, as well as the ridiculous, as ritual gestures or even as playful and friendly Olympic contests between poet introducers, out-introducing each other, as most of us will flip-flop this role from one side of the process to the other every so often. Given that for today's occasion I am the hostess, this could be one of the mostest in that direction, given that Alan Fisher and I are old friends and have been at times even collaborators, have lain together under the same covers of the same book, have published each other's work in both magazine and book form, which means that my usual first sentence or opening sentence of such introduction, to quote myself, "It gives me great pleasure," would be a major would be a major understatement in this case, and therefore has to be relegated to appear only as a subclause in this, the third line of said introduction. But now, in the fourth sentence, right, this one now, I'm speaking now, I would state unequivocally, both subjectively and objectively, that I consider Alan Fisher's work to be the most essential, innovative, wide-ranging poetry to have come out of England for the last 25 years. I'll buttress this with a lengthy quotation from somebody else, so as not to appear too objective or subjective. This is a statement from Robert Shepard's introduction to Alan Fisher's section in Future Exiles, a wonderful, if fugitive, anthology, some of copies of which, this is the pitch to the crowd, are for sale out front there. Shepard does a useful kind of handyman introduction to Allen's work, says in here. His first published work, Thomas Nett's Treeburst, 1966-1970, is a useful signpost to Fisher's mature work. It consists entirely of a text made by the deletion of letters and phrases from Wordsworth's The Prelude. As such, it declares his distance from mainstream literary culture and asserts a streak of vital irreverence. More importantly, it was not a work of self-expression, but a set project with a certain procedure. Fisher does characteristically work at the level of projects by setting himself large objectives and limits with a particular method. Partly as a result of this, and partly because of his extraordinary energy, Fisher's output in the 70s and 80s has been furious, no less as a painter, performance artist, theorist, and little press publisher than as a poet. The result is a series of heterogeneous, overlapping works, initially overwhelming in their bulk and baffling in their complexity, but eventually surprising in their methodologies and sweeping in their scope. They represent the most serious and extensive attempt to register late 20th century realities at the level of both form and content in British poetry today. See, I was not that over. It's just objective statement. To actually give a list of Allen's work is quite impossible. Shepard goes on. I had the same dilemma when I thought how to do this, and again, Shepard did this nicely for me. In 75, when Fisher was still only 31, he stopped to take stock of the work to date in Prosincell, which I think I actually have a copy here to show you. That was a very slim selected from 75, Prosincell, which with characteristic humor he described as a blueprint for a retrospective catalog. It listed 34 projects in progress, varying in originality and profundity as well as in style. On the one hand, Fisher attempted to explore all kinds of information, scientific and mathematical, as well as cultural. On the other hand, he was assimilating every avant-garde technique. Prosincell itemizes collages, found texts, male art, dream poems. There were experiments in process music and conceptual art. There were performances which were part of the collective fluxus England-West. There were graphic works and photographic works and collaborative writings. Some of the works favored strict procedures, others a radical discontinuity. What was coming to the fore during this period of experiment was Fisher's desire to show his working processes in the work itself and to subvert them and undermine the authoritarian nature of systems by his interventions. Simultaneously, the role of the ego of the author, still the validating center of most contemporary verse, is undermined by the use of such systems. The incredible diversity of that work has gone on in the same vein. I, at this point, having moved out of England and so out of the orbit of daily talks with Allen, no longer know exactly what the 45 or however many projects ongoing right now are. So I'm going to leave that to Allen himself to give us a quick description of. I'll close this introduction with the opening paragraph from Allen's essay, The Mathematics of Rimbaud, which I think is a nice is a statement as to what he is up to. He writes, After art resolutions made earlier this century, the idea of art as objects and poetry as poems gradually lost credibility. Since then, many attentions of activity have emerged that, initially through conceptions of art and poetry as process and as idea-oriented, began to rethink what they were. Continually in the process of formulation, but already an essentially regenerational multivarious complex of fields, the new works no longer find taboo in the object, but include objects and processes, process showings and methodologies in a world of multiple possibilities that is giving, at least to a small attending audience, a vital cultural necessity complementing the political arena without being its voice and without grounding in theories that, for instance, art language fixed upon. It is a requirement of this art that, to answer Olson's 1962, a later note on letter number 15, the poetry is always yet to be found in the process of its making, and that making continues to take place through the physiology of the reader and the hearer. Now, Alan.
The last time I introduced Jerry, I opened with this sentence. It would be much easier to fold Richard Wagner's complete ring into a single 17-syllable haiku than to give a full and accurate account of Jerome Rauffenberg in the 5 minutes allotted to this introduction. I will make it in 30 seconds this time. Welcome, Jerome. There's a new book. I think you will read from it. It's a Greek book for a change, from visits to Greece. There are, as you know, Jerome and I have been working on some big assemblages together. I don't know if you will do other material than your own. It is a great pleasure to have somebody who much prefers to be in Southern California these days, out here in the snow. Jerome.
Trapped again.
Robert Kelly is one of our most prolific writers. Many, many books of poetry, but also a number of books of proses, fictions, a novel, one long unpublished novel, at least what one has heard of, what we know. This afternoon, as usual in these circumstances, it is basically available for questions and answers. As Robert Pinsky said 2 weeks ago here, I'll take any questions, even the dumbest, he said. And I'm sure you should feel free to ask all those questions of the trade, from the highest to the ones, how do you sharpen your pencils? Mm. You will be willing to answer them all.
The dumber the better, actually. Good. Those are the ones that interest me. Because a smart question is one that you can answer and that's the end of it, whereas a dumb question is never answerable. It always has to be reinvestigated, constantly reinspected, and keeps us going. Pinsky was happy with dumb questions.
Well,
did he get any?
No, not truly. I mean, some could have been judged that way, but I think it was pretty okay talk. He was very involved with the Dante production of the night before, so a lot of the question about Dante and how can there be a dumb question about Dante, a difficult one. To point out quickly, this is the new book, Red Actions, the Selected Poems, that came out a few months ago. Selected Poems, 1960, 1983, Black Sparrow Press, 400 pages. And I think that will also be available tonight at the reading. Bring it in. So I don't want to say anything more and throw it open to the questions.
You just heard Pierre Joris's Introductions to Poetry readings by Alan Fisher and Jerome Rauffenberg in 1993 and 1995, recorded at Home Salons, hosted by Pierre and Nicole Perafit in Albany, as well as Pierre's casual introduction to a Robert Kelly seminar at SUNY in 1996. If time allowed, I would play more, but I'm going to turn to something else. During winter 1993, Pierre and Jerome Rauffenberg were in the final stages of publishing PPPPPP, their translations of Kurt Schwitter's poems, performances, pieces, proses, plays, and poetics. Pierre asked me to spend 2 days proofreading the book with him in his basement studio in Loudonville, so I did. For some reason, I decided to make recordings as we reviewed Profane Words over the Eternal City, The Artist's Right to Self-Determination from Mertz, and What is Madness? And next up is a bit of that. I thought to note that aside from some rarefied spirits he offered up after we finished, this was pro bono work. But saying that is completely erroneous, however, knowing full well that this endeavor was an incredibly informative experience to have on multiple registers.
Why don't you shut up! Exclamation line. Why did the old Romans build so many ruins? Question line. You're mistaken, comma. Back then they were spick, dash and dash span.
Spick and span spelled that way. It was a CK.
It's just a C, I think.
Did I misspell it there too?
Well, someone put the K in, but I'm pretty sure that it's a slang word and you use it with just a C.
think it's variant of spirit. Okay, you can do it with K. Really want to do it with K? Okay, I don't like it.
That, yeah, weird.
Okay.
And smoothly polished, period. It's the climate, period, line. We're dealing here with the beauty of Rome, comma, which supposedly is greater than that of other cities, period, line. Earlier, m-dash, line. Later, m-dash, line. Rome, m-dash, line. New York.
What's you? Wait, how the hell did that go? They fucked up. They fucked up.
The poor lady turned beet red, exclamation, m-dash, line.
One m-dash and then a line? She has m-dashes. Why does she have m-dashes there? But at any rate, we want a line break.
Profane words over eternal cities have come to an end. Period, line. As long as there will be eternal cities, comma, there will be profane words over them. Period. PJ.
Nothing bad piece. All his pieces are different, right? I mean, he really is amazingly inventive. You know, he goes and does completely other things. Generally.
The Sturm was the first to publish my best poems and to show a collection of my Murs paintings, period, paragraph. Greetings to capital H-E-R-W-A-R-T-H Walden, exclamation, paragraph, indent, italics, kerchfitters, and then there's
italics? Well, I put it in italics, but she said.
And then says, the, after that, says, the change from the old heavy pince-nez to the new, comma, elegant finger dash lorgnette, for everyone a facial decoration, period. PJ, well done. The husk Dadaists peeled off from this original kernel under the leadership of Hulsenbeck. And in the split...
Translator's note, there is a one there, no?
Translator's note, colon, Hulse
means
husk in German. From under Hulsenbeck's leadership, period, not everyone who lacks the ability to judge art should be entitled to write about art, colon, quote.
What Lisa Jovi, not Lisa Bowie.
Period, end quote. Mertz energy.
You know that line? Jovi, what is good for Joe, is not good for the beef, for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Mertz energetically and as a matter of principle repudiates capital M, Mr. Richard Hulsenbeck's inconsequential and dilettantish views on art, comma, while it officially recognizes the above dash stated views of Tristan.
The above dash stated?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, right. That should be the above stated.
Pierre was indeed my great Dada teacher, working intensely with a Schwitter's text, hearing the history of the forms directly from the horse's mouth alongside the nomad's intellect. What an experience to have. Pierre's translations of Paul Celan are widely recognized for their brilliance, and deservedly so, but it was the Dada-driven line of his interests that especially compelled me, in part as a result of a lengthy 1994 public seminar he offered at the Albany Public Library, in which he provided an exhaustive introduction to Dada, its connection with other art forms, which he organized around Dada's multiple myths of origin. Wish I could play the entire session, but this segment will have to do for now.
As opening ceremony, a poem by contemporary poet Jerome Rothenberg. The history of Dada as my muse. The history of the fathers is only Dada time. Only yesterday, only the day before, the morning after. Time spent in this century, an empty train snaking its way to Paris, cathedral where an old sump overflows that leaves them dizzy, shit sticking to their cuffs, unpressed but with their father's zest for living, vests monocles proclaim an avant-garde. In absence, an avant-garde proclaims itself, the young men, fathers of the history of Dada, still ride its rails. Rise past my Eiffel Towers, at each bump, each anal urge propels them. This is the heart of culture, they proclaim. The Dada God's heart. In the world their poems make, muses drum on walls, on saddles, muses masturbate into the wind. Oh Dada, oh my muse, the young man under cellophane, sleep with the history of the fathers. In the father's hands, a girl named Schopenhauer dances. The train to Paris lands in Zanzibar. Verses come upside down to free us. Verses reveals in the history of language, voice, divine, foot, solitude. The king of islands in a tree, a fiddle in each hand, his sex implanted in midst of branches, upsets their tables, spills his dreams along the floor. The sounds of queens in books, young men, the fathers walk by. Each is the other's muse, waits with a shadow lady at his side. Footballs thrown between the fathers float past the empty train yards. Only yesterday, in somebody else's dream, the voices the voices unlocked, reversed, the figure halfway inside the window, cut in two, the train in the revolver's mouth, baffled by other trains, by cogwheels, an assemblage of spare parts can never suit the fathers. The fathers can never suit themselves by hanging, by banging. Each man in the is the other's muse. Each is his own football over Paris, waving from a perch above the opera, holds a mackerel in each hand, blue lights above them, the jellied colors of their guards. Oh, Nostradamus, is your first name Jerome, like mine? Is Sagittarius our brother? Where are the proud Apaches now, the sons of Dada? On a billboard, Paris waits, the history of the century, illuminated, gray in moonlight, welcomes my muse as Dada. Military bands spatter the station. They screw my muse, paper Septembers, oh, voltaic arc, true and blue, electric shock, gray life. The Dadaist rides up an elevator with the Pope, with the fathers adrift like muses. Down one Eiffel Tower, up the next, oh, light wheels teeming with blue ants. What began as Dada ends as Dadahood, as my hand ends. Halfway waving, halfway cut off from its fingers, where the street ends, where another street turns halfway into another street. Now I need four or five people who get extremely bored in lectures. This is the original Dada move, which is to have a head in front of you, in front of you, on the desk. Those who have a hat will then get a pair of scissors, if we have enough. It is not a hat that will be cut up. The original Dada poem, we will come back to this later, was determined to have been made in exactly this way. Distribute scissors to those who have a hat. This is random. I just hand them out. This one, but we have no more scissors. Do you have maybe nail clippers in your pockets? Can you do this anyway? Now, this is only when you're extremely bored during my very academic presentation. Then what you should do is you cut up the page in front of you, you cut out words, and you put all the words into the hat. Later on, we will make poems. Yes, we should dedicate this session to John Candy. When I sit down, I wear my academic hat and will read very serious writings concerning the Dadaists. When I stand up and I take my hat off, I'll perform poems. And I will try to confuse you all along the line as to what is what. The gesture I gave, I made
money being cut up. There could be a repetitious Liszt poem called In God We Trust, In God We Trust, In God We Trust.
This would be very boring, you start cutting up all the room. Very rich.
The original gesture, the hat, the poems to be cut up, to be put in, and then taken out randomly, is very much a defining gesture of Dada. And in that sense, one can immediately make a difference with surrealism, where the most famous gesture proposed was André Breton saying, the most surreal gesture is to take a revolver and shoot randomly into the crowd as the ultimate surrealist gesture. I consider that more as the ultimate American gesture. Not very surreal anymore, certainly. Dada has is very different from surrealism profoundly somewhere. We will come to this. Let's deal with myth of origin. Once upon a time, there was a young man named Sammy Rosenstock. He was born somewhere in Romania, and he wanted to get out of Romania. He wanted to go to Paris, where he would become a famous writer. This is the beginning of the century. He reads all kind of stuff. He changes his name. He starts traveling. He gets into Europe. But then the war breaks out. First war, Great War. He gets stuck in Zurich, Switzerland. He has by now changed his name and calls himself Tristan Tzara. Tzara is one of the founders. That was the once upon a time story. Prologue to Dada, a quote from Tristan Tzara. You are mistaken if you take Dada for a modern school or as a reaction against the schools of today. Dada is not at all modern. It is more in the nature of an almost Buddhist religion of indifference. The true Dadas are against Dada. That was Tzara's way of proclaiming Dada's postmodernity, not as chronology, but as irritation, as disgust with solutions altogether. No more solutions, no more words. It's a quote from him. And with prescriptions, old or new, for making art. It is important to remember, at the heart of Dada was a pullback from the absolute, from closed solutions based on single means. Not a question of technique, then, but a way of being, a state of mind, of spirit, a stance, as Charles Olson decades later said, towards reality, for which the only technique was the suppression of technique. The only sense of form was to deny form as a value. And for all of that, Dada drew from means that were common to its time and to its predecessors in Futurism and Expressionism. A series of projects that could be, that would work on until its own predicted self-destruction as a movement. Central terms here, collage, we come back to that later, performance, you will do that, new typographies, chance operation, and a high devouring humor. I would like somebody to read a text here. This is a song-like thing.
Chris in the back of the class there talked so loud. Can you read this aloud?
Chanson Dada. This is the song of a Dadaist who had Dada in his heart. He tore his motor apart. He had Dada in his heart. The elevator lugged a king. He was a lumpy, frail machine. He cut his right arm to the bone and sent it to the Pope in Rome. That's why the later the elevator had no more Dada in its heart. Eat your chocolate, wash your brain, Dada, Dada, gulp some rain. This is the song of a bicyclist who loved Dada from the start. She therefore was a Dadaist, like all with Dada in their heart. But her husband on New Year's Day learned everything and in a crisis sent to the Vatican right away. There are two bodies and three suitcases. Nor the bicyclist nor the man was ever happy or sad again. Drink some bird's milk, wash your sweets. Da da, da da, eat your meat.
Yeah, our hamburgers, quote the father of the man. This, by the way, was Jerome Rothenberg's son, Matthew Rothenberg, made his adaptation for his rock band in recent years. One of the great forms that the early 20th century avant-garde movements brought along with them was the manifesto. It really became an art form in its own right, as you had novels and poems, you had manifestos. If you're a movement, you have to write manifestos, right? Here is extracts from Dada Manifesto on Feeble and Bitter Love by Tristan Tzara.
That was the first few minutes of Pierre Joris's March 1994 Dada seminar at Albany's Public Library. A year earlier, and a block away on Central Ave, Pierre gave a reading of his poem Winnetou Old at Boulevard Bookstore. For that occasion, he asked me to provide musical accompaniment, which I gladly did. The cassette of the event is now digitized, and you'll hear that now. You're listening to Poet Radio on WGXC.
I'm going to read one text. It's a bit of an explorative and experimental reading. It's a text called Winnetou Old, which dates from the late 80s and I'm working on and continue to work on. I'm preparing a book now that I have to get ready by the end of the month based on this. At this point, it is my voice and Chris on some metal instruments. It should get some more layers of sound on it. There's three elements in it, bone and metal and stone, and I want all of those things eventually brought in. Sound-wise, it also exists in part already as computer graphics, so there's another level at which the poem will eventually function. I'll say a few words about it simply because the Winnetou Old is the title, and some years ago I kind of asked for advice over some figure in a meditational sense, and this strange vision came, turned out to be an old Indian-looking man, and I kind of recognized him immediately as Winnetou, an Apache chief, very old. Now, this is a fake Apache chief. You probably don't know, but us European kids brought up, certainly in the German-speaking realm, used to read books by a man called Karl May, who wrote last century and wrote 72 volumes. These amazing travel tales. And he created this figure called Winnetou, who is a Mescalero Apache chief, who is the sidekick of Old Shatterhand, who is the white hero. And Winnetou died in the third volume, number three there, having just become a Christian at the age of 33. Major mythic pathways here that I think Mike wasn't even very aware of. But as a childhood figure, this figure came back and I had this weird old gent asking for advice. The poem grew out of some text written around that period, kind of grew out of the middle. That is, there were maybe what I call the magma of writing, which is a couple very dense pages. And then nearly every word or every image, nearly per line, became a stanza, blew up into a stanza. And then the stanza became a page. And so it's really a poem written out of the middle. Actually, we may in this section not even meet Winnetou very much or anything directly. A lot of childhood things come in, some foreign languages, but that's quite okay. It is just there for the sound, really. Song snippets, which I can't do because I can't sing. Winnetou Old.
He attacked us for caste, time then, before starting a poesis that keeps this other, began in bone arete, return to turbulence, break the slippery line, to work thanatos, tetanos, fecumfum, second movement, process of individuation, social aspects in aspic, hides the soul, caught, already insisted, blastula, reaps the soul, in titanic paralysis, the horizon int, end of my life, there rises, frostbite, blaming outside genetics, to see a tree, a cloud, a clubfoot, this homunculus, frozen brass monkey, bone monkey, Titan, Titan, peeled of all flesh and fleas, all noise and blood roar, all staub und blut, ein Würfel Milch, the dice of milk, black millennium cramp has torqued all muscle into solid bone, us, us, bone, bone knochen, or meine Gebeine, the bone titan, crouching, not sayer, a preventer, a not sayer, a stopgap, bony head wedged into that opening in the self that is the self, slash through which soul flows into the world, usurper of the quickening pulse, rides inside a stone rage, a congealed black hole, moon key hatred, cancer, romance, blastulated frippery, a fibromous death cult, absolute balance, no Kleinerman. Staccato stasis, howl this alphabet, go away, don't hurl this relapse into bone. Again, no game, this stone monkey, Europe, post, no interglacial basin, from its dead foam, no Aphrodite, no fat-ass goddess, scally pigeon woman, scraggy pigeons of Paris, Rome, London, Berlin, carriers of Krakow diseases, kill the messengers from Budapest, the plague is no turbulence. Breath, learn how to breathe with eyes closed. Break now the slippery line, carry on. Venetum old now, called Taranta in the vision. A clearing, a one-room schoolhouse, part Swiss chalet, part frontier log cabin, part Greek camp temple. An old mescalero Apache in rags of white hair, with a ball of light yarn in his right hand. Itchly dead. Hatatitla dead. He walks in rubber Goodyear sandals. The light yarn ball raised. His hand raised. All salutes resemble each other. IBM staccato rage. Make it flow. Blood, not I, slash. Make it over again into daily sashimi. Cut from between your ribs, Toro of belly, Toro of Gloucester, make merry, ha-ha. Only through power can we churn the European mind, around and around. Here come aus Deutschland, the bettering figure of bone monkey. Break the ice, reclaim use of bone, subarctic steps, double sealed in Deutschland, aus Deutschland. Ein Würfel Stroh, ein Nichts aus Erde. Metal blue Aries comes across a milled universe. Universum für junge Menschen comes across the hot bunker. Limits of any city. Retrace the subway steps in strong Indian ink. All alone with Winnetou old. Tambourine. Turbulence. Dead already. Amazing name. More than fishwives, caretakers of the world. Sound Gethsemane's spell through hell's landscapes, a cardiovascular ease, a momentary you wakes a sentence. Now another night lifts off the rooftops, in anger, its load. A cynical series of political nightmares. You turn to your back
accuse me of lack of romanticism, the fragrance of passion, the smell of death hides behind the fragrance of new sheep. Bone gags, anger, that narrow mood, ram's head, hurtling, pike's mouth, gasping, water or shoot. An old turbulence comes riding. There is unfinished business on this front. It is new. It is not new. It goes west, west, the Urals, the spine, Astorian waveforms, rutus, rutus, rutus. Only antigens cross, a bilaterally proliferating earth. Don't you realize you could die any minute? Have done so for so long already. To break la nuit américaine translates as European day. Here comes autonomia, rises against the fake night of Hollywood paper jungles. Oh, Ezra, you went off the black edge of Europe, should have known peace is war continued with other means. It will not rise in the east, but Saul, first of so much claptrap. European culture, hang, the big O, l'outre, l'outre, now becomes autonomia, another alphabet begins. Towards mania, l'altra O becomes ow, begins towards dawn, drawn with your fingers in shellac snows of old. We have learned nothing from millennia. Your defense, the great meltdown, domination, domination of the planets, Uranus. Hello, Mario Tronti, Tony Negri, Sergio Bologna, Franco Piperno, Oreste Scalzone. Hello and goodbye. You too, the night of Europe. The workers no longer the edge will lift the whole. Construyamo una vita, no longer the definite article. It is now A, 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 many A. Construyamo una. I love to build on declension, out of the east where the sun has entered the ass of the bone monkey. The squatting monkey hands out its ass hair, erect and swells it all back up. Ur mouth, ur fear, sun eater, Schweber, Herr Doctor, father, father, father. Tetanus, bone monkey, bone setter, stammers here, your small thumb, unlanguaged sandwich. Between four, a word, a corpse, from memory come back. Can I come back polling? Memory, I die. Cast myself, a corpse, X changes, color. Color, rubor, dolor. Unhanded, I feel it there. Thumb mates, fifths, first column. In again la nuit américaine. Night, I had nightshade and shed nuit and noise, noise to draw the night with. Let it drawn, lance, turba, ya, 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 ya. The thing about Hermes is wings at his feet, all other attributes and functions optional, derived. But how do I know where to move? Brownian movement, delusion, vectorial. Even that ball of light yarn, purpose or will dance a chacon, each to its own dispersals. Sparagmos of love torn between her and himself. Only hate makes whole. That earlier figure, the unbroken egg, before caterpillar. And break the shell in skull anger, bones hurt, brain too, only viscera, mush schlubbing about. O, in terror to type, this alphabet of self, this ur-thoughts reduces towards death, bad sun in solar plexus, bitter biter, you stole the day's first grace and pleasure. The head of Orpheus keeps singing, a mouth full of water, full of milk, full of teeth. Heads bop on waves, maternal waves. Wave the pen in vermilion, sky mad. It will never stop. Right there, wriggling earthworm left behind, left wet behind, wiggle the ears, a milkshake of cosmic proportions, Proteus, Athos, and Portos, all the garçons dance around the mummy hell of Osiris. No, a jackal guards the door to the charnel house called Europe. Read it anyway. You said she came. The storm barrier broke, turbulence rusted the brass heart. In bones, froze, and world will never stop. Now sharp fracture gleams at the edge of the world. Whirl that gags me, Gaia, cannot hold on to mummy being. This is not analysis. This is other molecular happening beneath all certainties. Somewhere else, always, always, the displaced, somehow discarded discord left behind. I can see my whole body. If you have never carried a corpse, you cannot know the weight of your own body. Someone said this in Europe. And I cannot make it back from behind the barn at Ossetia. We played sticky fingers, musk of oxen, cows pictured underneath. And I cannot make it back, I take it back. Your European origins flood against African cervix. A system of different heat levels creates flow. Your ice-cold anger freezes his hand. I stand reviled, access lost, body tremble, redirect the tension. Impossible task. You say it reads, win you too. I say the death of Europe. The bone monkey hoes the graves. The homegrown brass idols croak in no key. Stone titans, your horse songs. Cloudbirds of putrefaction, you lead me back to this inchoate text of exile. Von Holland's garden, this Tevin's Fussische Reich. A Ganovenweiser sung in Luxembourg, Anno Domini III post-World War II, all the way to Anschel in the Bukovina. And still we go at it, turba scriptorum, tra-la-la, trying to wring something from this long night. How not to escape, how to work from inside out, that it stand in the light of day, that it make that light light again. Here comes exile down the narrowest cut. He believes himself and finds a home therein. Exile, night, elixir. Can see whole body, finally sane in mirror claim. Is meaning or something less, brunt fine at home, lit up tomorrow's abstinence. The red chicken today, clay oven, Aryan cuisine of origins, in rich cream sauce, baby shit colored my baby face, dumplings of shared origins, a dark cream, a crash of lime, the edge of the crust, parata, parata, unleavened dark origins, push it straight in and over, baba, wudan, a gok from the kitchen, wife's hand, servile to talk on phone, slum landlord's rent, a slip millennium, yesiree, 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 Y and E and S, S and never, ire, 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 we are the bright, briar future of this narrow land, England, England, über alles, this tooting Upanishad, you just wait on and are in, the dead telephone exchange, memory is an elephant, he drags along a silken sash. Carryovers, courage, takeouts, the smell lingers for days. He took pictures, made a book of them between bed and table. The sash trails the ground, furrows the stained carpet, splits, reveals old linoleum, cracked linoleum topology, spit bone fragments, teeth, skull, splinters. Ah, here is the monkey again. It changes into lino's heaves, turns now cracked parasite, claw through stolen piece. Throws up world image of cancer dendrite, lianas above and below. Keep that speed, keep it coming. Staccato stake through the heart. He's got nothing on you, he is you, can thus not touch you. Oh, he says, I'll change into something more comfortable, like death warmed over. The clay oven spurs the skirt of fish heads. The crab dances, final horror of self dissolving. This then. The age of Yucca, prickly pear dreams, the texture of refusal, of demons into the world, let bloom a thousand foxes, wave it away, and back on track, there's much to be done. Hear the old Eurocynic speaking, wind you too, the message of the defeated, world civilization through resentment, feel it again, warm over, everything is death, twilight monkey brains, propping up the tumbling altar, cold wet skeleton of Europa's faint anamnesia, a father, 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 generations of Dutch Anabaptist pirates, cold feet on the scaffold, amniotic swirl of flood tide, last hangman's feet. Winnetou old, maybe, but not slack, marching from beyond the television gift. Yes, they are poisoning body and mind, have death warrant, will travel. Of course, again, the travail of travel, the width and breadth of old Europa, emphysemic two-tier broadcast, for or from the past. The quality in the landscape links it to noon or the moon, only the bloom, only the diphthongs change. The gift tongues ululate, the vowels broaden or contract. Umlauts go about, Wizaran regiments riding point under the chancellor's iron skirts. He plays billiards in the morning. And Moret slaughters the buffaloes. That sacrament come home to roost.
Thank you.
Here it is.
That was Pierre Joris reading Winnetou Old in Albany, 1993. I'll be finishing this month's program with a more recent recording made just a couple of weeks before the 2020 COVID lockdown, when Pierre and Nicole did a karstic performance in which they were accompanied by musicians Michael Bizio and Patrick Higgins at the Lace Mill in Kingston. This piece is an elegy for Steve Dalekinski, who had recently passed away.
Steve-o, we should have met back there, run into each other back when, 69, 70, 71, but didn't, or we did, but didn't know who we were, too stoned maybe to look out, stuck inside, not only the big shitty, but our own young selves, selvas oscuras, if you permit me to quote that obscure Italian Dante in the East Village psycho delicatessens jungle undergrowth and ground. And right here I was again, am again, coming from Puerto Rico imports with my twice 1.5 pounds coffee beans under arm and crossing over to the northeast corner of 2nd and St. Mark's on the late summer, early evening, and didn't think of going to sit down at the Dallas barbecue.
Thank you.
just as Joel and Faye started to play here at the Zürcher with Yuko a few chairs away, and Nicole sketching in the back, and you not quetching by my side, but here, yes, here, here to hear, here to be here, that music, here, lend me your ear, Stevo, Stevo, Dalla, Dalla, Mensch, I miss you so.
That was Pierre Joris and Nicole Perafit, Michael Bizio, and Patrick Higgins performing in Kingston, February 2020, a piece that celebrates Steve Dalekinski. I'll repurpose what Pierre says at the end there. I miss you so. Needless to say, we will all miss Pierre immensely. I feel beyond fortunate to have been in his presence and to have had the chance to absorb his work in so many capacities. From his support as a teacher, his encouragement to do radio, Pierre himself produced radio for France Culture, and working together as recalled in this program and beyond, he was totally a VIP to me. I very well may not have met my wife, Amy Huffnagel, if it weren't for Pierre's Nomadic Poetics collaboration with the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company at the Egg in 1997. Amy wanted to know what Nomadic Poetics meant, and a mutual friend pointed her in my direction, and the rest became our history. I'll say so long with that, and a hopeful idea contained in a quote in the epigraph of Pierre's book, A Nomad Poetics, which reminds us, quote, a rhizome has no beginning or end. It is always in the middle, between things, interbeing, intermezzo, unquote.